The Aluminum Company of North Carolina is proud to sponsor Kane's Corner with Adam Gold.
D'Angelo with it. He'll spin it for Nadeau. Nadeau, another one right on. Hammers it and Greaves with a save. Oh, he's got a missile and a shot from the point from Kuznetsov. Deflected. Carolina trying to keep it in. Kotkaniemi's pass is banked and intercepted. Power plays over. Kane's had good looks. Now Carolina would like to cross off this 2-0 deficit as a turnover is picked up. Carolina throwing it out in front. Chance to score! Carolina gets it out in front, and yes, Barry Kotkaniemi comes up with the marker, and it's 2-1. Carolina down a goal. Now Carolina trying to work this here out in front. The score! Teuvo Teravainen on a beautiful setup from Jack Drury. Yes, Barry Kotkaniemi. And what a first period Kotkaniemi is having. And Dylan Coghlan feathering it out in front.
Oh,
an opportunity.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
And spinning hard into the boards is Jesper Faust.
This is your biggest fear in a game like this.
Head athletic trainer Doug Bennett making his way out to the ice. Yeah, setting it up. It's Teravainen. Snap the shot. He scores! I don't think I need to add anything after Seth Jarvis's insight there. A wicked wrister from Teuvo Teravainen, and we're tied at 3. D'Angelo, he'll get it to Natchez. Side of the net, Nason with the cross, and Teravainen hit the post. Almost had the hat trick.
This is Kane's Corner with Adam Gold, a production of 99.9 The Fan. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Well, welcome to the Kane's Corner podcast. I am Adam Gold. Welcome back to you. I've been here the whole time. Thank you very much for hanging out after the final game of the regular season. Game 82 didn't go as well as Carolina would have liked, but not a lot riding on it. I was incorrect by saying that there was nothing riding on it. Certainly not for playoffs or seeding in the East, but if it is Hurricanes in Dallas and the Stars win their final game or get a point out of their final game, then Dallas would have home ice advantage in the Stanley Cup Finals. And that, I guess, is a price. So, but there is a cost to resting your main group, which is what Carolina did tonight. But we're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. Sammy Hanna and his crew do an amazing job, and you should check them out for all of your exterior home improvement needs. And I wish you would do that. Plus, they're awesome folk, and they sponsor this. So this is how we do this. All right, we'll spend a little bit of time on the game. Not much, because frankly, it's a game that, again, didn't carry a lot of weight to the season, but there's still some things worth talking about it from it, and there are some things we can pull out of it that will take us into the playoff series against the Islanders. Let's just go quickly through, not necessarily the game per se, but just some things from the game.
Adam Gold in studio with my friend Jeff Monsine, who used to be the owner-operator of the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. His dad was as well. Sammy Hanna is now in charge. Let's talk about windows, or are they winders?
I like to say winders because
you
winders...
You look like a winder guy.
Yeah, but if you're thinking about custom-made windows, bay and bow windows, garden windows, double-hung sliders, all the windows are insulated, super energy efficient, tilt-in for cleaning, give the Aluminum Company a call. One of the great salesmen will come out, give you a free no-obligation estimate. Ryan can tell you a little
bit
more.
Can I talk to one of the great salesmen?
Yeah, talk to him.
I have Ryan Monsine here. You know him. Do you have a favorite window?
We do. My favorite's the double-hung window. Like Jeff said, it tilts in, easy to clean, and it's Energy Star rated, which means it's going to make your home a lot more airtight, a lot more energy efficient, too.
Very good. I like airtight. I like energy efficient. And I like the fact that you called your dad Jeff. Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. 800-672-4348 and aluminumcompany.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First of all, as you could expect, and we'll just start in goal, Spencer Martin had not played since February 29th, and he celebrated Cam Ward's 10th birthday with a win in Columbus, as it turned out. That's where he started the season, you might recall. And it looked today like he hadn't played a lot. In retrospect, he might want the first one. He certainly needs to get one of the first two goals. You know, just beat him right past the glove. But again, not playing, it's easy to have the game speed up on you, and that's probably what happened. He needs to have the Alex Nylander goal, the fifth goal, has to have that one. He probably wanted two back, but the truth is that he was unlucky on some, and the Hurricanes weren't really all that good. Dmitry Orlov lost Zach Werenski behind him. Was it Werenski? He just lost a player behind him, stared at the puck long enough for a player to get behind him. Just an unfortunate bounce right to that player. That's a goal. The Hurricanes were not great in transition defense tonight. So a lot of the things that you might expect from a team that was about 60% of their full group. They were missing Slavin, Pesci, and Shea on the blue line. Missing the entire top line, plus Andre, plus Staal. So that's five of your 12 forwards, three of your six defensemen. So a lot of the stuff is understandable. Not necessarily acceptable, and it wouldn't be had the game carried meaning. But understandable that you would make the mistakes that Carolina made. So Martin wasn't great. They were unstructured defensively. But let's not spend too much time being dour about game 82, especially when basically games 1 through 81 were so good. The Hurricanes finished 52-23-7 on the year. Second best record in the East to the Rangers. It may end up being the third best record in hockey, which last year they were second. The two previous years, they were third best in the NHL. This is the high rent district that the Hurricanes live in these days, where you are four straight years pushing near the best record in the NHL. It's impressive. You go back to the crazy pandemic Central, they won the division that had both Florida and Tampa in it. Remember that. And Dallas, by the way. I think they went 6-0-2 against the Stars when we were division mates. Then the next year, you win the Metro for the first of two consecutive seasons. You finish with the, second best record to Florida in the East. That the first year, second best record to Boston last year in the East. And this year, you have the second best record in the conference again. So, again, this is where Carolina is living. And it's pretty good to be a Hurricanes fan and wake up every day knowing that you've got one of the best teams in the league. And this year, maybe a little bit more so than others. And I'll just tell you a quick funny story about it in a second. I think the Hurricanes roster looks like a team that is, you know, fixing to win a Stanley Cup. Unlike the team that got to the Eastern Conference Finals in year one under Rod Brind'Amour. And you go and you look at that roster and you go, how on earth did this team get this far? And you could honestly make fairly similar assertions even in year two into year three, and look where this team is now. So they are bona fide top to bottom, one of the best teams in the league,
and maybe they don't have a McKinnon or a Kucherov or a Matthews or a McDavid, but they've got a lot of really good players getting great goaltending. And I know we're biased, but we have the best coach in the league. So let's pull a couple of things out of tonight that we can take going forward. And I'll try to mix in some questions here. And we'll talk about the three young guys who played tonight as well. I thought Jesperi Kotkaniemi had a great first period. He was probably good in the first half of the second period. His game he was less noticeable the rest of the way. Would have liked to have seen Jesperi dominate 60 minutes of a game. Well, you're not going to play 60 minutes, but, you know, put 20 minutes of glorious performance on tape and force Rod to make a decision in game one. He didn't do that, but he had a great start. He scored the goal, a play that was made by Steph Nason and Max Comtois, but a great finish up high over, what was the kid's name? Whatever. Columbus's goalie. And then what I thought was the better play, better than the goal, was the pass to Teuvo Teravainen for the second goal that made it 2-2. So that was, to me, that was the best of Kotkaniemi. I thought he had a great first period, and he was fine the rest of the way. Teuvo Teravainen was outstanding from start to finish. That's the best thing we take away from tonight, was what Teuvo Teravainen looked like in a meaningless game, because what we know about Teuvo is that when the games start to matter more, Turbo matters more. And I think he is one of the key people to watch for the playoffs. Obviously, you're not going anywhere if your top line doesn't perform similarly to how it's performed over the last month. But the real key to this team is 86 and 37. Because if those two guys are really good in the playoffs, Carolina is going to play a lot of hockey, a ton of hockey. Teravainen will unlock that second line, and if Svechnikov can put some points on the board, because I think, at least at the beginning, I think he's going to stay right where he is, playing with Staal and Martinook. And if you've got Svechnikov getting on the score sheet, playing with them and contributing on the power play, and you've got Teravainen playing with Natchez on one side, and then we're just going to put a little question mark right in the middle, and we'll get to that topic in a sec. I think Carolina's poised for a very, very long run. Doesn't mean you win, but I think we're talking about games into the 20s in the playoffs, and at the very least, you're going three rounds. But I don't think there's nobody better than Carolina. Not significantly. I don't think there's anybody better than Carolina if Teravainen and Svechnikov are scoring on a regular basis. I thought Martin Natchez played well tonight. I thought for Natchez, who I don't believe got on the score sheet, I thought it was everything but a goal. I liked a ton of what I saw from Natchez, and I thought he took some defensive responsibility as well, which obviously Rod likes to see. Here's what he doesn't want. He doesn't want that line to be a liability. And as long as Natchez is defensively responsible, we know Teravainen will be, then it opens the door to maybe keep Kuznetsov there. Even if Kuznetsov is not playing at a high, high level. Let me go through a couple of questions because one came up I don't want to forget. But let me just get to the first two. Samuel wants to know if Kuznetsov has hit a wall. I think the wall is over. I think the wall was hit about 2.5 weeks ago. I think he came up and played the first handful of games on adrenaline. And then I thought we saw his game suffer. And I thought he was making a lot of poor decisions, and he didn't have the same energy. I think that Kuznetsov has his energy back, has his feel back. I just think it hasn't worked in terms of being on the score sheet lately. He hasn't played, in my opinion, hasn't played badly. I don't think he was great tonight, but I also don't think he was bad tonight. So, and Kuznetsov is going to get the first crack at playing. He's going to start. I'll be surprised if he doesn't start the playoffs in the starting lineup at center. I will be surprised if that doesn't happen. Another question came from Agent Shadow. Wanted to know specifically about Spencer Martin tonight. Spencer wasn't great, but Spencer hasn't played in a long time. It's been about 7 weeks since he played. Carson, why did Rod start a bunch of scrubs tonight? This game mattered if we faced Dallas, and he learned a valuable lesson to not start Martin in the playoffs. Yeah, Carson, because I'm pretty sure Rod was thinking about starting Spencer Martin in the playoffs. Game 82, when Carolina was trying to get to the finish line with no damage to the roster. If it cost you home ice in Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals against Dallas, so be it. They lost Jesper Foss tonight. Carson, would you have felt better had Carolina went for it and lost Sebastian Aho? Would we be as nonsensical as that? I don't believe so. So let's just chill. The reason to not rest players is if you are afraid of them going stale. But here's the reality. It's Tuesday. At the earliest, Carolina doesn't start till Saturday. And more than likely, it's Sunday. So Tuesday to Sunday has plenty of time to go stale anyway. You weren't going to be in a rhythm of playing when you haven't played for 4 days. So once they kind of parsed through all of that and they couldn't win the Metro, it's not really, it doesn't make much sense to think that far ahead, to be perfectly honest. Again, I've been saying for a long time, to me, home ice advantage matters the most right away. I think you want to get off to a good start. I think if you don't, it's hard to recover. But I think they can overcome home ice disadvantage, if you will. 25-13-3 on the road in the NHL. 25-13-3, and they're like 16, no, it's more than that. It's like 17-3-3 in their last 23 games on the road. It's something silly like that. They have been awesome on the road. Home and road has not really mattered to this team. Actually, the funny thing is, I've actually been a little bit disappointed in Carolina's home record this year. They're basically the same team, home and road. They're 27-10-4 at home, 25-13-3 away. And in the series with the Islanders, in the season series with the Islanders, the home team didn't win a game. Hurricanes won both games on Long Island, one in overtime, one in regulation. They lost both games at PNC Arena, one in overtime and one in regulation. It's kind of weird, isn't it? The Hurricanes in Boston were the same way. Hurricanes won both games in Boston, lost the only game of the season series in Raleigh. All right, let me get to a question. This is just my own thinking about lines in the playoffs. We know Aho, Gensel, and Jarvis, they're going to be together. Right, that's just the biggest given ever. And I'm pretty sure that Svechnikov's going to start with Staal and Martinuk because of two reasons, really. The first is it really does simplify Andre's game. He's not going to be tempted to get all super fancy like he was playing with Kuznetsov and Natchez. So I think it works for Andre. It also, in some ways, plays to one of his strengths, which is being physical. Like, if you remember when Seth Jarvis played there, Jarvis tried to play just like Staal and Martinuk try to play. Like, inside your uniform, with the body, in the corners, playing a heavy game. And that's what we want Andre to do. Because when Andre does that, A, he's not doing dumb things. When he's playing smart and being a physical presence, he's not doing dumb things. His dumb things come almost with out of frustration and almost inactivity. But it also, one of Andre's best traits is his ability to retrieve pucks. And while we're not talking necessarily in this case, in this instance, about like being on a power play and going into the corner and digging out a puck, but there's a lot of similarities between how Carolina wants to forecheck and puck retrievals on a power play. Just think it kind of, on the low, suits Andre's game to be very simplified. And if they can get him continuing to be on the score sheet, holy cow, that line becomes better, even though it was really good with Seth Jarvis. And I firmly believed that we were going to get back to Staal, Martinook, and Faust. I don't think we're headed there. I think Rod, for two reasons, will leave Andre right where he is, at least for now. The first is, as I said, it does simplify Svechnikov's game. It gets him to play with a little bit more discipline and responsibility. And the other thing is, because of the way the Hurricanes' lines are structured, if Jesper Faust played there, they're going to have a pretty high-skilled, high-priced player on the fourth line. So I think Rod kills two birds here. Svechnikov plays with Staal and Martinook, and it frees up Natchez and Teravainen to be on the wings on that second scoring line, which we should probably just call Carolina's third line, because I think that's the way Rod likely will treat it, unless it is dominant offensively. So now, since I've beaten around the bush several times, who's the center there? Now, theoretically, it should be Yevgeny Kuznetsov. Here's a guy who has, like, seasons where he's almost at a point a game. He was Washington's leading scorer in their Stanley Cup playoff run in the spring, I guess early summer? Not quite summer. Spring of 2018. So the way it really should work out is that Kuznetsov centers your second line, the line with Teravainen and Natchez. But he hadn't been playing well, although I do think his game is better. And I'm not sure Rod wouldn't be more comfortable having Jack Drury back there again. Now, we can sit here all day long and say that Jack isn't good enough to be a number two center on a Stanley Cup winning team. And I'm not going to tell you that that's incorrect, because I believe I just said those words with my mouth. And I have said that before. But Rod has a hard time, and I don't blame him for this, he has a hard time overlooking bad defense. Like, it's not acceptable to be one of those lines that, well, it's just those guys again. Yeah, I don't think that's the way it's going to work. So I wouldn't be shocked if Jack Drury centered that line, at least at the start of the playoffs. I wouldn't be shocked at all. Down the road, I think you're going to need better from Kuznetsov to make you even more dangerous. And I think down the road, you'll get better from Kuznetsov. Again, I thought he was fine tonight. Wasn't awesome tonight, but he wasn't bad at all. And I think the last couple of games, at least for my money, I have seen a player who is getting pretty close to where he was when all the adrenaline was flowing and they were doing all sorts of Harlem Globetrotter-ish things, whether it's on the second power play unit or as a line. And I do think that Natchez and Kuznetsov are meant to play together, but Kuzi's going to have to, like, not drag the team down in other ways, because Marty can do that too. You don't need two guys doing that. I think Teuvo Teravainen becomes the adult in the room on that line and settles things down defensively. And if that happens, I think Rod's got a super dynamic second scoring line. But I am interested to see who will be the center, because I think we're going to see Teravainen and Natchez on the wings on that line, but it will be interesting to me to see who the center is. The only person I kind of rule out is Jesperi Kotkaniemi, but that doesn't mean I rule him out of playing. I just don't think he'll be there. I think it'll either be Kuznetsov or Drury. Now, let me very quickly get to Kotkaniemi, who played well at least early tonight, who might draw in because of the injury to Jesper Fast. So early in the second period, Erik Gudbranson, look, I didn't even think it was a penalty, to be honest. I thought Carolina, at least two of their power plays that they received, to me, were not penalties. I didn't think there was a hold on Comtois, but whatever. What do I know? I thought the Hurricanes got a couple of breaks with the penalties that they got. It'll just be interesting to see whether or not Kuznetsov... Oh, well, let me just backtrack real quick. If Fast can't play, it opens the door for Kotkaniemi to draw back into the lineup. If Fast is missing at the start, I think Kotkaniemi, even though he's not great on the wing, I think he'll draw in at the expense of, let's just say, a Brendan Lemieux. But I also think that there is every possibility that Kotkaniemi, if he plays well, could, I don't know, maybe even supplant Jesper Fast, although I wouldn't do it. But it would put a lot of pressure on Kuznetsov to earn his spot on a night-in, night-out basis. As of right now, I think Kuznetsov starts maybe even probably on your fourth line, but I think he gets the nod right now. But I think that Kotkaniemi showed enough tonight that Rod has to at least think about, what about that? Jack Drury's going to stay in the lineup. I don't think there's any question about that. And the fourth line right now, I think it'll be Kuznetsov, Nason, and Fast, if Fast is healthy. But if he's not, then it'll be Kuznetsov, Kotkaniemi, and Nason. And that would be good for Jesperi, who obviously wants to play and has played all year, has been a healthy scratch a fair amount once they acquired Kuznetsov. Real quick about the young players, because I thought there was a lot to like. They made a boatload of mistakes tonight. There were bad passes into dangerous areas galore from all three, from Scott Morrow to Bradley Nadeau, or however you pronounce his name. I'll get that right eventually. And Jackson Blake. They all threw the puck away. Don't pass the puck there. No, no, no. And you can tell Rod has got to be thinking, my gosh, what are we doing? But they'll learn. They'll learn where not to pass the puck. It might take a while. I mean, Martin Natchez and Andrei Svechnikov are still kind of learning it. I kid. But there's obvious talent in all three players. Morrow's going to have a chance to make the team next year. I'll be perfectly honest. I think Nadeau will have a chance to make the team next year, as will Jackson Blake. When you sign them to contracts, I mean, they're going to do what's best for their development. I don't think Nadeau and Blake stick around with the team, you know, playing 7 minutes a night on a fourth line. So if they earn spots to be in your top nine, then they'll, you know, make the club. And if they don't, they'll go to the minor leagues. Hurricanes have to be announcing a minor league affiliation, I would imagine, because they're starting to sign minor leaguers. Spencer Martin will go to the minor leagues. Max Comtois, although I think the contract is just for the balance of this year. So they signed Brendan Lemieux for next year already. Of course, he's an NHL player, but you still need a minor league affiliation. So what did Rod say today? You know, a guy like Comtois, who Hurricanes signed like 2 months ago, that he has no idea how Carolina plays. One of the beauties of the Hurricanes system, when you consider the minor leagues, is that for the most part, their AHL team has played just like the NHL team. That's by design. So when guys come up, they're used to playing that way. Well, Comtois isn't, and Nadeau and Jackson Blake just came out of college, so they're not. But I thought we saw enough good out of the three young players to think, yeah, you know what? see what happens in September. See if those guys are ready to make a pretty giant statement with an opportunity, because we haven't had this conversation and we'll probably have it after the playoffs are over sometime in June or July. But I honestly think that we're going to be looking at as many as 8 new players next year, or at least 8 players off this roster gone. Again, let's not talk about it now. We'll talk about it another time. But that's how I kind of envision the lines looking when we get to the playoffs. Like, I think Kuznetsov will start in the fourth line. I kind of think Drury is going to get the nod initially because Rod doesn't want to be exposed defensively with Kuznetsov and Natchez out there. Because just to use Boston as an example, early in that game in Boston, even though Carolina dominated it, the Bruins were throwing the Pasternak line out against Kuznetsov, Natchez, and Teravainen. Now, fortunately, that line held its own defensively, and ultimately, Montgomery kind of switched it and was sending that line out against the stall line. But Rod is probably not going to play games defensively. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if he just said, you know what? Jack's a good enough offensive player. I've got 2 great wingers. I'm going to let it go. Even though I think they can become that much more dynamic if you get the right version of Kuznetsov. Other than that, I think it was an uneventful season finale. Unfortunately, Jesper Fast comes up injured. Hopefully, it's not too serious. Hopefully, he'll be ready to go on the weekend. If not, the Hurricanes have some options. Not the same type of player, obviously, but they have some options. Kokaniemi could draw in. They could get a little something out of Brendan Lemieux if they wanted to. But ultimately, and I don't think the kids are going to play at all in the playoffs unless there are massive injuries. I don't think we're going to see any of the new guys, any of the kids play. By the way, Bradley Nadeau, do you shave? He'll turn 19 in 3 weeks. I think May 4th. Is it May 4th? Something like early May, he turns 19. Jackson Blake turns 21 in August. Yes, they're young. Scott Morrow is young. The prospects are coming. They might have to be here next year, but the prospects are coming. It is a good thing. And you only have to wait another year for Alexander Nikishin from Russia. Just incredible defenseman. All right, that'll do it for us. Regular season ended with a little bit of a whimper, but that's okay. Now we start this weekend against the Islanders. Real quick about the series between these two teams. Again, each team went 2-1-1. Each team winning a game in overtime, losing a game in overtime, and winning and losing in regulation. 2-1-1. In terms of special teams, it was not a high power play opportunity season series. The Hurricanes were 4 out of 11 in the 4 games, and the Islanders were 1 out of 9 on the power play in the 4 games. Is that going to continue in the playoffs? Don't know. Don't know. I do know this. There were a lot more goals than anybody expected out of this matchup last year in the playoffs, and both teams were better defensively last year than they are now. I think the Hurricanes are close to what they were last year. I don't believe the Islanders are. The Islanders are a bottom half, they're really more mid-table, if you will, defensively in the NHL. The Hurricanes are one of the top 3 defensive teams in the league. That's the way this team is structured. It's the way it's always been structured. As long as Rod is the head coach, that's the way they'll be. So it wasn't overly specialty teams in the regular season. Again, 4 out of 11, percentage-wise, Carolina 36%, as opposed to 1 out of 9, 11%. But this too small a sample size to really lean on percentages. In 4 games, the Hurricanes only gave up basically 2 power plays a game. Wow, sign me up for that. and they got almost three power plays a game. Not a lot, but you'll take a low specialty teams series between these two, because I'm not sure how you process it, but I think the Hurricanes are the significantly better team at 5-on-5, especially when we turn for home in the playoffs. I think Carolina's just built to play playoff hockey because their game should travel no matter where they are. Big guys to worry about for the Islanders, and we'll close on these little nuggets. Matt Barzal had a couple of goals and 6 assists in 4 games. Bo Horvat had a couple of goals and 2 assists. Noah Dobson had 4 points in the season series. Look, Brock Nelson didn't kill Carolina this regular season, but Brock Nelson always scores against the Hurricanes. So expect, let's say the series goes 6. Canes in 6. It's going to be a difficult series. I don't think we're going to see a ton of special teams. Maybe we will. If Carolina plays the type of defense they have been playing of late, I think the Hurricanes will be fine. I am not scared at all about the Islanders. Bo Horvat's been good against Carolina. Brock Nelson scores all the time. Matt Barzal's been good. For the Hurricanes, their big guns have not necessarily been great offensively against the Islanders, but they have figured out a way to beat the Islanders. Aho's got 3 goals and an assist in the 4 games. Jake Guentzel has played against them 3 times, has 6 points, 3 goals and 3 assists. He had 3 points against them when the Hurricanes played them back in March. He had a goal and 2 assists there. Just to sum up and go all the way back to the beginning, my keys as we head into the playoffs: what does Teemu Teravainen do? What does Andrei Svechnikov do? They will, to me, they will be the barometers of what Carolina is in the postseason. I feel like we know what we're going to get from Aho, Jarvis, and Guentzel. I feel like we know what we're going to get from the depth scoring pieces in the blue line. And by the way, anytime Brent Burns and Steph Nason want to resume scoring goals, that'll be fine. It's been a while for both. We don't have to belabor the point. We don't have to give specifics. But it's been a minute for both guys to score goals. But for me, if 86 and 37 have big postseasons, we're going to be here a long time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We will wrap up a little bit of an extended Canes Corner podcast. I owed you guys after missing 2. So thank you very much for hanging out. I am Adam Gold. This has been the Canes Corner podcast, brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it is for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. Sammy Hanna and his crew do a great job. And for all of your home exterior needs improvement, I do think that that's the place to go. They're not the cheapest, but they're the best, and they're the best customer service in the industry. So with all that, we got to get out of here, and we'll see you after the first game of the playoffs Saturday, Sunday. I'm hoping for Sunday. I am, personally. And I hope you'll be with us every step of the way as we pursue the Carolina Hurricanes' 2nd Stanley Cup. Until, we'll see everybody on the weekend. Good night.
You've been listening to the Kane's Corner Podcast with Adam Gold.
Hey, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.
The Kane's Corner Podcast is a part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.